Hey geeks, welcome to episode 96 of It's All Geek to Me Radio. I'm your host, Kate. This episode is our New York Comic Con wrap episode. We invited our good friend Heather on to chat all things New York Comic Con with us. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
Because I have rasp of con, folks.
What the rasp?
Oh my god, I have such con rasp, too.
It's brilliant.
No, you need to call it the rasp of con. It's funnier.
Yes. It came back a little bit today.
It did.
And then it's gone again. It's fine. Whatever.
Well, the post-con depression has already set in, unfortunately.
Of course.
I mean, I had a rather fun evening, but the post-con depression has set in. So, you guys, we all were there last year. We all had a great time last year. How did you feel about New York Comic Con this year?
As I was saying before, I know I did a whole bunch of stuff, but I have no idea what I did.
you argued about your print quite a bit.
That is true. That was a majority of my con, was trying to get my Stan Lee autograph print, which took 4 days to recover.
Yeah, which was a little ridiculous. I mean, I know we all came out of it being like, oh, we had a great time. And of course, when you're there with good people and, you know, you're doing fun costumes and you're doing fun things, it's all great. But the con as a whole, what was your impression compared to last year?
Well, like I said, I don't remember what I did. It was all good. But, like, I know I didn't see, like, half the floor. It was crazy full this year.
Oh, I know.
Like, even on Thursday, I was having, like,
Thursday, which is usually, even though they've started doing this full day of programming, I don't ever remember Thursday being that packed.
Right.
And you know what else about Thursday? I honestly think, and not that this is a problem, because it's great that new people are getting the chance to go to a convention. I think Thursday felt like a bunch of people who had never been to Comic-Con before. And like,
yes, well, not only
had never been, but just didn't understand the physics of not stopping right in front of you and clogging up space.
That happened all weekend.
Which, again, when you have that many people, obviously things are going to get clogged up and you're going to have to weave around people.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I just felt on Thursday, like people were working like 4x4 and just stopping.
And
oh yeah, there were so many log jams at key junctures. And I mean, you're going to get that anyway with the occasional person stopping to get a good photo of a good cosplay or something like that. But you definitely had, as Kate said, just groups of newbies, if you will, just parking and just staring about in awe. And that's cool. I mean, it's in all senses of the word, it's awesome. You see the floor is huge. The booths are overwhelming. The number of people is overwhelming. But people just can't park in key junctures of the con like that.
Which they don't realize, you know, like it's right. Kind of like when you've seen Times Square for the first time. It's overload and you just stop and stare like a tourist, which I understand, but it just, usually you get a couple of those, but it was in abundance this con. It was just crazy. I saw online by the end of Friday that people were actually calling it Line Con 2016.
Huh. Yeah, the things about the lines that were so weird, because I felt some lines were run with like excellent efficiency and done so well, and then just others were a shite show, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
For one of the most blatant examples for how two lines were run completely differently was the Stranger Things panel you had to line up for at the same time as lining up for Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider panel, right?
Right.
So clearly, the Stranger Things panel was earlier in the day. I believe it was at 11, 11:30, something like that. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't until, like, what, like 7:45 or something?
7:30.
Yeah.
See? There we go. Kate's got the actual times. I'm ballpark.
I know that because I had to leave another panel to get there by 7:30.
But so what had happened was in the Stranger Things line, I got into it relatively early. They told people to line up on each side of the chute. The left side of the chute was if you wanted to go and try and get into another line, and the right side was if you just wanted to see Stranger Things and you were just going to stay in line until the panel happened.
Right.
Which was fine, and they were very efficient. They walked down the line, they tapped everybody in, made sure everyone was moving. And then I went and got into the Marvel line. The Marvel line was like four people across, just kind of moving in a giant mass, and people who were behind me ended up getting in front of me, and it was just super disorganized.
I agree.
And took forever, and they only had one person tapping people in.
I actually really super appreciated the way that they did that with the Stranger Things panel, because it was the panel that was the first panel in 1D of that morning. If you wanted to just sit in line and you wanted, you know, you absolutely had to be first front row, which at that point I was...
We still got really good seats.
Yeah, we did still have pretty good seats, but I was at that point, I didn't really care where I sat. I just had to get out of that line. So while you went and got in the other line for Marvel, Heather and I got out of line, and we hadn't planned to go to Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. anyway. We were going to another panel at 6:30, the official hero hair panel. So we weren't planning on going to Marvel. We just got out of line and went and sat down and had some breakfast and, you know, just chilled out. And then as soon as we got caught up with you and Les, went upstairs, got some coffee, and then we went to the Stranger Things panel. We still had really good seats because you got in there and got in there ahead of us, and then we brought in the coffee, and it was great. It was such a great panel, too, man. That was probably one of my favorites.
That was a pretty spectacular panel.
Millie Bobby Brown is the precocious 12-year-old that I wish I had been. She's just adorable. Right. Absolutely adorable. And that was just a great way to just kick off Friday, I think. We had such a great day on Friday.
Now, did you remember to be present? We must always be present in 2016.
Yeah.
You must live in the present.
We're not allowed to go back to 1980.
She said she wanted to live in the 80s.
Yeah.
Her mind right quick.
Yeah, as soon as she found out there were no cell phones or internet.
You must live in the present. and because people in the present, we do not play D&D, we play Pokemon Go.
This is a very important distinction, folks.
Super, super cute.
That panel was just hysterical.
Oh, yeah. All of us just sat there gobsmacked by her. I remember all of us looking at each other at one point being like, she's my spirit animal. I can't.
And the way she played off David Harbour was just amazing.
Yeah, the two of them have really good chemistry in life, so you can understand why they have a good on-screen chemistry, too. And by chemistry, we don't always mean, like, a sexual chemistry, you guys. It's like, just, they act well off of each other. Right. Kind of like you have a kind of, like, a biological connection with all of your friends. But anyway, yeah, so... where the lines were concerned in the garage, that was kind of stupid that they weren't all doing all of them the exact same way.
Right.
The part that ticked me off was that when we came back downstairs, we'd already tapped our badges to get into the Stranger Things panel. We'd come back downstairs with the coffee. There was a wall of security people being like, you can't come this way. You have to go take a walk. And we had to walk all the way to the back of the garage and around to the left side wall to go into the panel room. Why?
Right.
Why?
Which is ridiculous.
You already loaded the panel in. Why can't we just walk to the left and go in that way? Why did I have to walk an extra half mile? I was in heels. You jerks.
You got your steps in, my love.
Oh, yeah.
I understand if the people were just already... By the time you guys came around, too, most of the line was in.
Yeah, you guys were already in.
Like, I understand seated at the beginning of the line not wanting to do that to take people off, but at that point, most people were in.
Right.
Well, and later on that weekend, Kate and I did get, shall we say, preferential treatment, which allowed us to cut through that section, and we were allowed in. We didn't have to make shall we call it a walk of shame all the way around the garage to get into the panel.
That was later on Friday. That was the S.H.I.E.L.D. panel.
Yep. But it showed you that people that had special seating absolutely could cut past security there.
Yeah.
Just not us
people. All you had to do was show that wristband, and they were like, go on. Bye.
Yep.
You were like, yep. Okay, that's all it took? Great.
Yep.
But yeah, and actually, the one thing I will say is that security, at least, is the one thing about the con-ish, the security right there in the garage, that kept up their, what they were supposed to be doing in terms of their job all weekend. They did it the same every single day, every single time I walked over there. The only time I walked over there and had to ask a question was I wanted to use the restroom that was behind them, and they were, like, more than willing to let you go and do that. They just didn't want you to be cutting the line to go into the panel room. However, there were some, like, there was a lot of crap going on that not everyone had the same information. And I just, part of me feels like they took a bit of a step backwards this year. Like, last year, we walked out of the con and we were like, you keep improving. We love you, New York Comic Con. This is, like, the third year in a row that we've been impressed by your innovations. And this year, you took away the banding system and made the tapping system, which is kind of the same thing, but still annoying. Because after you did tap in for that panel, nobody tapped your badge again.
Yes, they did.
They did? Where? Did they tap your badge when you were going in?
For Marvel and for, yeah, both times.
Why do I not? We didn't. I didn't remember getting tapped for Stranger Things.
Both times, yeah, I don't know if they did you, because you were at the end, but they came, no, they came through the line early and tapped everybody for Marvel and... pretty sure they tapped us. They did tap us in pre, whatchamacallit, Stranger Things. I think maybe you ended up going through so late. What they were saying was if the panels were not full,
oh, the overflow, they were
just letting people in.
Okay, so we got lucky and got in on the overflow line.
Right.
Right. We definitely did not tap our badges back in. We just walked right into the hall.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's probably because they got most of the people through at that point, so they were just letting people walk in. Okay. But we did, I do remember tapping in for that. And I know for S.H.I.E.L.D., they came through the line early to tap people in.
Interesting.
To make sure there wasn't anyone standing in the line that wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah. Well, the other...
because neither Kate or I, for both panels, neither of us had to tap in. Now, obviously, for the second panel that I mentioned earlier, that was... we had wristbands, but at the same time, there was no tapping of badges for either panel. So I guess we both just assumed that there was no tapping.
Yeah.
The emails, I liked this email system that confirmed that you got into a panel or you had a space. That, I think, was almost immediate. And I thought
that was a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't check my email all weekend.
Yeah, neither did I. But I got them today when I got home. I was like, oh, that's what that is. Hi, Reed Pop.
And it was instantaneous. Like, as soon as you tapped in, maybe less than a minute later, you received an email to the email that you subscribed that was attached to your badge.
Right. Oh, see, that's good, because then if there was a problem, you can pull up the email and say, no, I got tapped. That is smart. Good on you, Reed Pop. Good on you.
Yeah, I think that was a really smart innovation with that.
And especially since another innovation I would say that is a definite improvement from last year's Comic-Con was the Wi-Fi.
Oh,
yes!
It was magical this year. It was
sure
like the
was.
Stuff of demon blood.
Like, last year, I remember my phone battery was nearly dead because I kept trying to sign in, and my phone kept trying to access the Wi-Fi. It was just a giant disaster, and everyone's phone was just dead, you know, maybe halfway through the con. Here, it was like, boom, magical, free.
It was free, too.
Signal. It was fantastic, so I have to give them credit as well.
And instead of it being a PR stunt, it was actually just the Javits.
Yeah, and it was free as opposed to having to pay for it, like they've asked you to.
And it was really good. Like, you didn't, and the only time that I remember having a problem connecting to it was one time when we were down either in a panel line or an autograph line, and it was a busy day. It was either Saturday or Sunday, and I was having a hard time getting, like, a page to load, so I just had to jump off and get on my LTE. That was Saturday.
Yep.
Okay.
It was Saturday because you were trying to get something on Twitter to answer somebody, and you couldn't get on.
Right, right. Okay, that's what that was. Yeah, so...
and also, the entire world was there Saturday.
That, too.
So.
but, yeah, other than that, like, your phone would connect to it, and you were connected all day. You weren't wasting your data, and you were able to use the New York Comic Con app, which, that's what you invented it for, guys. How cool.
And the app wasn't... I know you had issues with the app leading up to Con, Kate.
Yeah, they still never got the maps in there. It drove me crazy.
I don't bother with the maps anyway, but...
I know.
I thought from what I used it for, it ran pretty smoothly, and because the Wi-Fi was so great, I was actually able to, like, go up on the floor and be like, oh, I wanted to go find this booth, pull it up in the app and get the booth number.
Yeah, and you could actually use it the way it's supposed to be used.
Especially because of the way, also the way they had you able to search it this year made it so much easier.
I actually was in line behind a woman who was talking about that she had designed the app for, oh boy, I forget which convention.
I was with you for this.
Right, yeah, I knew someone
WonderCon,
was.
WonderCon, I believe.
Was it WonderCon?
I think it was WonderCon.
Yeah, we were sitting at outside the ladies' room, yeah, and she was in line talking to somebody else. And she was talking about how she used to make things searchable by, like, item. And it was easier to search. It was an easier to search app and blah, blah, blah. But I think that's...
She was looking for a pair of flip-flops for...
Yeah.
Whose feet were killing her.
Oh, yeah. Very nice girl. Poor it was really girl. Nice to meet her. She's dressed as the TARDIS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, she was looking for flip-flops, and they couldn't figure out if anyone in the convention center sold flip-flops. But she was saying if when she worked WonderCon and made their app, she had made that kind of a thing searchable. Which is super cool, but I don't know how...
But also, how much data does that take?
Right, how huge would that app have to be? But I agree with you that the New York Comic Con app was... I really like the way it was set up this year. I think they improved where that's concerned, for sure. The Wi-Fi was a great improvement, and that was a great improvement. I know that a lot of... There were two celebrities there that people really wanted to see, and that was Carrie Fisher and Stan Lee, obviously.
Yep.
Their photo op... their photo op lines were, to me, I didn't have a bad time in the Carrie Fisher photo op line. We were in it longer than we should have been, but it's because of her, and she's lovely.
Yes, exactly.
So that's the thing, you can never get mad if you're stuck in a line if it's because the person you're going to see is making the effort to connect with people.
Which is exactly what she was doing, and that was fantastic. It was a great experience getting that photo. It's one of my favorite photos of the four of us.
And Gary!
We got to meet Gary Fisher!
Gary Fisher.
For those of you uninformed, Gary Fisher is her adorable dog.
Yes, her adorable little service dog. He's a French bulldog.
Yes.
Cutie. So,
and boy, howdy, does he love the camera.
Oh, man, what a mug. Oh, yeah. But I know a lot of people were getting stuck in her autograph line and Stan Lee's autograph line for hours. A friend of ours was in Stan Lee's autograph line for almost 5 hours. Saturday, I believe.
Yes. Actually, no, it was Sunday.
It was, okay. Man.
So Sunday was just as... You would have thought that Saturday would have been the bad day. No, I think she was in the line from 10 a.m. to like...
2:45.
Yep.
Insane. That was insane. And then this irked my soul. So we were very, very fortunate to get an Airbnb that was only about 5 blocks from the convention center, which was brilliant. And it was wonderful.
It was amazing.
Highly recommend you guys doing that in the future and not paying for a hotel. It's so much nicer to have an apartment, especially if you're staying with a bunch of people. But when we would walk from, we were walking from 30th Street on 11th to get to the convention center. And we would walk to the corner right before the convention center and just see these droves at like 9:45 in the morning, these droves of people walking past us, especially on Saturday with all the umbrellas. That sucked.
Sunday was the umbrellas.
Was it? I thought it was raining both days.
Yeah. It rained at the end of day Saturday because we went and changed and came back, and that's when it was raining.
Okay. So, on Sunday, you know, was the umbrella day, but it was both days that we had these droves of people being driven down the block past the convention center and around the building just to get in line. I was hearing from people that they were waiting in line an hour to 2 hours just to get in the building.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I was texting with one of our friends who we finally got to meet.
Yes.
Cyborg.
Yes. I loved meeting him.
I was texting with Cyborg because I was like, oh, we should meet up. And he was texting me from the line being like, still out here, still in line. And I had been fortunate enough to be inside for a while.
Yep.
Well, it was waiting for something. I was in a line waiting.
Was it for...
While he was still trying to get in. It was probably Stranger Things while he was still trying to get in the convention center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard that from a lot of people.
The horrible cluster of people being stuck outside waiting to get in for like 3 hours?
Yeah.
I think it might have been. That was Thursday, too, so that was...
Mm-hmm. The only day that we wanted to be in line early was Friday, because we wanted to get in for Stranger Things.
No, that was Thursday. Oh, no, that was Friday.
That was Friday.
Yes, yes. So I was talking about Friday. There's so many days.
I know, I know. And we got in line at a decent time. And we got still got in and got the panel we wanted, and that was all that really mattered. But we had a friend staying with us who spent Friday and Saturday completely in Madison Square Garden, which we never went near. And between them and Hammerstein, we were hearing reports that were different from everyone. So we'd hear that, the line is capped, which means the hall is capped. And then we'd hear from people that had been in there that there were seats available, which, come on. And then people were getting in line as early as 4 a.m. for Madison Square Garden on Saturday. So New York Comic Con, you have essentially created your own Hall H. Congratulations.
Good for you.
Good for you. You're making people lose sleep and not get showers.
Nobody asked for this, but thank you.
No, we didn't ask for this.
Yeah, the said friend who did MSG all those days, he was telling me that he probably felt that he got maximum 5 hours sleep the whole 5 days, hours, because he was one of those people that was in line probably 5 a.m. walking in the dark through not particularly nice areas. Mm-hmm. So that he was saying, he's a big guy, and he was like, I was a little nervous, pitch black, walking there just so he can, get third row at MSG to see people like Keanu Reeves and Matt Damon and, Common and all those guys. I mean, they brought in some big stars, but yeah, I mean, you're like you said, you created the Hall H, so people are really sacrificing to access what they want to access, see the panels.
We started making a joke that seeing this friend in the Javits was a rarity, because he spent so much time at MSG. It was just insane. And that's just not how we do con. We understand that sometimes, that's your bag. And it's totally his deal. He loved it. He was, he had great panels. He was really excited to see a bunch of them. And that's awesome. But I understand that they're trying to, bring in more content, probably. That's what they're getting at.
Hashtag content.
It was just, seemed like more of a pain in the butt. Because you had to leave the Javits Center.
Well, also, they had three different buildings.
Four, babe. Because they had, BookCon was at another place.
I meant three different buildings aside from the Javits.
Yes.
To wander to. There was the one that was literally right up the block where BookCon was going on. I know this because I walked past it coming back from Hammerstein.
You bought a book, didn't you?
Because I ventured out there for one panel, and they just, handed me a free book as I was walking by.
Yay. But, yeah, it just... having to leave the convention center and walk.
It was a decent walk to Hammerstein.
It wasn't. On the map, it looks like it's going to be so short, but it's not.
Oh, well, because here's the thing. It's on 8th. It's like behind 8th. So I saw that and I was like, all right, we're on what? Like 11th? No big deal. And then I'm walking in heels, mind you, because I was walking in the Wonder Woman outfit. Which is my favorite costume. Yeah. Walking through areas of construction Wonder workers. Woman.
Sorry.
Not my favorite part of con. that was interesting.
Well, how many wolf whistles did you get?
I got several cat calls. There wasn't a lot of whistling. Yeah. It was like yo 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 beautiful and that kind of stuff. And I was just like, okay, just gonna keep walking. That's good. Nice. Bye.
Everywhere. So why?
So, but I'm walking, and as I'm walking, I figure out there's all these BS streets in between. It's not just 11, 10, 9, 8. There's, a Dwyer. There's, some other random one that cuts through.
Yep.
And I was just like, this is not, this is just not okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, Funko also started this year. That was the first year. We talked about this in our prep podcast, but this started this year with the ticketing system to... get to the Funko booth. Which is smart. However, a bunch of people found a way around it. There apparently was a guy who got into the Funko booth line all 4 days.
Yeah. Are you serious?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard this story from a reliable friend, and he somehow managed to get into the line all 4 days. Legitimately, because you have to show them your ID, and they scan your badge. How?
I don't know how this happened.
Me either.
I think the person also said that they weren't checking IDs. They were just Or they weren't scanning badges. No, they weren't scanning badges. They were just scanning your ticket.
Interesting.
So if you don't scan the badge and you just scan the ticket, then if you get four different tickets, you can get in all 4 days.
Mm-hmm. You know, Artist Alley felt more crowded this year than other years, too.
It did, but good on that. That's my favorite place.
Yes.
And I will say, guys, you got to listen to us. Secret bathrooms, always empty. It was only on the last day that there was a quote-unquote line I had to stand in to go into the bathroom, and that line consisted of two people.
Mm-hmm.
Artist Alley bathroom, that's where it's at.
Best kept secret in terms of bathrooms. And really, if for those people, I know myself and another friend of ours, we had moments where we... either because we were in very warm costumes or because we just were on overload, we just needed to escape the floor.
Yeah.
And we told you guys, we're like, you know what? We'll be in Artist Alley. In Artist Alley, I mean, again, it's so, like you said, if there's any place that I would like to be full, I would love for people to frequent Artist Alley and give these artists and designers the love that they deserve. But, for you know, Artist Alley is still, I think, well set up enough and open enough so that it is a place that is more peaceful or more calm or more open with more air. If you do need to get away from the absolute utter crush of the main halls, the open halls, the floor, the, you know, places like that. So whenever I felt I needed to just escape, I usually went to Artist Alley. So.
Yes. Right. And it was also, I also find it much easier if you're going to meet with someone to meet them in Artist Alley.
Yes.
Agreed.
Absolutely. It was always, I feel like that's one thing we spent so much time doing this weekend was just being like, I'm here. Okay. I'm here and I'm on my way there. But you didn't get that text until you left where you were.
Yeah.
We spent so much time trying to find people.
I was trying to meet up with some people and it was literally a comedy of errors at one point. I spent a half hour trying to meet up with, Katie Took Solo on Twitter, who we love. And she was like, oh, I'm over here with Leobuds. I'm like, okay, cool. Now, you know, we've known her through Twitter, but we've never actually met, so I had no idea what she looked like. Because her avatar is like a little cartoon, and it's adorable, and you all should follow her. But I was like, okay, we'll go over there. But then she had tried to come to where I was, and it literally took a half. Finally, I was just like, I'm standing in front of the Dark Horse booth. I am not moving.
Come find me. Mm-hmm. It took a lot of...
like, pictures of my view.
Yeah. I did that. I had the same problem. So, I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but I actually moderate a Facebook community for Agent Carter, and I planned a meetup, and the first day, I planned the meetup outside of the, like, right where the blue entrance was, there's will call and, like, professional pass pickup, and I had planned for the meetup to be out there, and I thought I'd been really specific, but apparently a lot of people had a problem finding it, so I was trying to do the same thing of, like, take the photo and be like, pass it on. This is where we're meeting tomorrow. And still, I think people have a problem finding it. So it's just, New York Comic Con is massive. And there are things that you can walk by five times and miss because of the crowds. And this year was particularly bad where that was concerned. Yeah. But I mean, aside from that, the panels that we sat through, the moderators and the panels were all fantastic in the ones that we sat through.
Agreed.
The moderator for Stranger Things kind of just let them go.
Oh, yeah.
Which was great. The moderator for the Graham McTavish panel was fantastic.
Fantastic. This guy was excellent. He was able to, you know, just have fun with the crowd before Graham showed up. He and Graham had a great rapport. He managed questions well. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was excellent.
And he did his research before he sat down to the panel. He knew a good bit about Graham's career and could ask questions going all the way back and then come forward to Outlander and Preacher, which was really super great. And the guy was really just kind of cool. We just dug him from the minute we walked into the room, which was fantastic. So, and Graham McTavish is just a lovely human being. So that was a great panel as well. You guys sat through we weren't there. You went to the Women of Marvel panel. How was that this year?
That I did. I love the Women of Marvel panel every year because it's filled with so many amazing women in the industry. But not only that, like, for some reason, save for like one or two, the questions that get asked are always so smart.
Yeah.
And interesting. I mean, every now and then you get the, why did you kill off this person? And it's like, okay, sit down. Sit down. But like, there were people asking about, like, you know, the fact that there's been, like, one black woman writer or artist. I apologize. I don't have this 100% committed to memory here. But, like, what Marvel is doing to take more steps into being more diverse when it comes to the creative side. And
very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that panel from last year was really great. And the panel afterwards I met Ann Foley.
Yes.
Yeah, that that panel was fantastic.
She was not there this year.
No. You guys had the Marvel
costume designer
Netflix.
For Jessica Jones, Daredevil, Luke Cage.
She's a neat lady
too. She's there.
And Margaret Stoll, who's one of my faves.
Oh, and someone was asking her about the costuming on Luke Cage. This isn't a spoiler, I promise, because I haven't seen it yet, so nothing was spoiled by this. But the line, he wears the hoodie, mm-hmm. which, you know, has been discussed as a tribute to the young black men who have been shot for wearing a hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
But the lining of his hoodie is yellow in a nod to his original costume, because they wanted to put a nod to the original costume, but that world doesn't really, you know, make for giant yellow spandex shirt. So,
man, I wish you could see my face right now. That is so cool. I love when they do stuff like that.
Yeah. So they went for the lining, and somebody had asked them, is that the... And that's also why in Jessica Jones, he has a yellow shirt at one point.
Beginning. It's absolutely a connection to Trayvon Martin and everything that mm-hmm. is going on this year. And I think something that really moved me, they said, you know, it's having a black man in a hoodie be a Marvel superhero is one of the most powerful statements they could make right now in 2016.
Right.
Well done, Marvel. That's really awesome. I'm sad that we missed that panel.
Me too.
But we were in line to get our photo with the Queen. So
yes.
That was just slightly more important. The Queen and Gary. The General, yes.
The General and Gary.
The General and Gary. All right, so we've talked about the kind of bummy stuff and then a little bit about the panel stuff. What, give me a memory that makes you smile from this weekend.
Would you like to go first, Heather?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here trying to think because, I mean, like we were saying, there were moments where you felt, like you said, maybe Comic-Con took a step backwards in some events, but I think in terms of, at least for me personally, I accomplished... Comic-Con is all about prioritizing what you really want to do and being okay with being like, I can't do these things, and I'm okay with that because these are my priorities. And
right.
Hit all your priorities, you know, you're good. I think I just have so many good memories from this weekend. Both of our pictures... were spectacular. We really connected mm-hmm. with people. Again, it was like last year, the people we met, now this year, it was just the reconnection and the deeper connection. I guess for me, one potent memory for me is I debuted a new cosplay this year and one that I really thought I was going to abandon. And Kate and another friend of ours sort of talked me off the ledge because it had been full of drama. Pulling this cosplay together, and a lot of cosplayers we're perfectionists. We want it to go well. We want it to be, well, you know, we have an image in our head of what it's going to be, and if it's not quite there, it's like, well, no, do I want to debut it? But I went ahead and the two of them talked me off the ledge, and I was like, okay, we're gonna do this thing, and we'll see how it works. And so all of us parked in front of the Marvel booth briefly just to get out of the way. And, you know, my build was a Kylo Ren build, and I had everything, had the lightsaber. Thankfully, New York Comic-Con weapons policy didn't give me any grief about it. There was a lot of drama.
They didn't give grief about weapons. Any weapons. It was ridiculous. They barely touched them. It was, whatever.
I got banded the one day.
I got banded, but like...
On Saturday, I got banded. Nobody cared on Sunday.
Yeah.
Saturday, I got banded, but the guy who did it was very nice about it, and he also put it around... It was my Wonder Woman gun.
Yeah.
And PhillyCon always puts it around the little part behind the trigger.
Yeah.
And it has broken my trigger off twice. He instead wrapped it around took two of them to wrap around the handle of the gun. So he said, so it would be where my hand hits for when I take photos so I could cover it. He purposely put it so I could cover it in a photo.
We had a similar situation, but we'll circle back to that. I'll let Heather finish her story.
Yeah, we can. I definitely think it's worth talking about the weapons policy in that. But anyway, so I was able to bring in all of my Kylo build, and once someone came up and said, "Hey, can we get a picture of you guys?" We started taking pictures of just our group, and Kate, our running joke that day was wardrobe, because so that meant that my helmet had to go on, and she helped me drape the fabric down the back and get the hood just right, you know. And so that was the big joke. It was like, wardrobe meant the Kylo helmet came on and I got to come to life. And once that started, it was the most incredible wave after wave after wave of adults and children and people asking, "Hey, may I have my photo with you? Hey, Kylo Ren, may I have a photo with you?" And it just, it went on.
One guy was standing there with his son and turns to me, "By the way, you guys, we were all in Star Wars costumes. So she's Kylo Ren, I was General Leia, we had a Rey, we had a Finn, right? We're all standing there and I've got this older guy," and by older guy, I mean he had to be close to 60, with maybe a 12-year-old boy. And he goes, "Can he get a photo with him?" Meaning Kylo. And I was like,
Yeah.
Like, go ahead and ask.
Kate was handler.
I was her handler. Yeah. I was like, "I'm not her manager."
My beautiful friends here became my handlers. I didn't even know this was happening because, again, I'm in this helmet and I can only see really straight in front of me. So half the time they're whacking me on the shoulder going, "Hey, you know," if I'm not directly looking out and I could see people coming up to me, but if I was trying to pay attention to their conversations, it was like, whack, 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 there's someone who wants a photo. And that probably went on for maybe an hour and a half. And that was overwhelming in a really amazing, emotional way. Like, I had such angst about this cosplay, mm-hmm. and then I had just had, you know, put the helmet on, get the stees going. And it, you know, the kids just kept coming and coming and smiling and Kylo Ren, high fives, you know? And I was just like, I turned to Kate and Eileen. I said, "Yeah, guys, I think the general consensus is that the cosplay's a hit."
Yeah, it went over really well. I'm really glad that you did wind up doing it, because it would have been fun to have you there as Poe, but Kylo was this thing that you'd been working on for so many months. And like, you know, cosplay betrayal is real. I had another friend who had the same kind of issue, where one day she was actually pinned into her costume, but she was there and she was in it and she looked adorable. So that's all that really matters. Right? She was cute. So let's circle back to the weapons policy thing. Ooh, that was loud. So we had told you guys in our prep podcast that they were like cracking down hardcore, that we had to email them about lightsabers, and it was like, come on, there's a Star Wars movie out, you know they're gonna have to let lightsabers in the door. All right, so we go in on Thursday. This was our experience with weapons, but by we, I mean this was me and Heather's experience with weapons. Thursday we go in, I'm carrying my, we're in Preacher, I'm in Tulip, she's in Cassidy, she's got a bottle of blood, which they didn't care about, and nope. I have my big old plastic bazooka, right? Which I am walking in carrying in one hand, but that doesn't mean anything. Like, you don't know what that could mean. Walking through security, they look in my shoulder bag. Was I carrying a bag? I think I was. Mm-hmm. They look through my tote bag, tap me in, don't even touch the bazooka. And usually, you know, the way it goes, it's not the security guy that does it. It's you go through security, they've checked your bag, they've tapped you in, and there's someone standing there waiting to look at your prop.
Right. Yep, exactly.
There was no one standing there. Or if they were, they didn't give a crap. Because my bazooka is not banded.
Well, even with the bag check on Thursday, legitimately, the guy just kind of like briefly tapped the bottom of mine and was like, "Go."
They didn't even look in the bag.
Which was hysterical, because then on Friday, not only did they poke through my bag, they also wanded me.
Yeah.
Yep. Wanded. Yep.
Like, the difference between security just between Thursday and Friday was laughable.
Yeah, you're right. Because on Friday we walked in. So Heather and I walked in as Dum Dum Dugan and Peggy Carter. And I had two props with me. I had a prop Walther PPK and I had a radio. They didn't even look at the radio. They could have given a crap. But
and how many guns did I have? Yeah, fake grenades.
Heather
two
had
guns.
Two guns and three fake grenades. But we walked through security. They check our bag pretty thoroughly. They tap us in. They wanded us. Yep. And then we kept on walking, and there were guys there that stopped Heather to look at her rifle. And I pulled out my Walther PPK, and the guy who picked up her rifle was like, dude, this is awesome. And they, like, hardcore geeked out over our props. And we were just nice, and we were like, yeah, we know. He goes, are you guys prop makers? No, 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 we have a friend who makes these props. They're super cool. Heather shows him how, you know, her grenades magnet. And all that stuff. And they very, very nicely, like they did with Eileen, they very nicely wrapped the tie around the handle so that you could hide it in pictures. And they were cool about it. And I was just like, okay, you know, we were all worried that they were going to be jerks, but it also pays to just be nice to that person. Like, don't be like, oh my God, please be careful. Just be, they know that they built this prop. They know that it means something to you. And they, like, that guy just hardcore geeked out over those rifles. And I think, Heather, did you pull it apart to show him that the rifle pulls apart?
She did not.
Absolutely. They couldn't believe, like, I handed it to the guy, and the guy, and this happens every time because Carol's props are the greatest, but they hold it, and they're like, oh, my God, no one can believe that these things are just lighter than air. And he was like, oh, my God, what is this? And I just pulled it apart, and it's like, look, PVC, and they're just sitting there just, they couldn't believe how well they looked and how light they were. So, I mean, they were more interested in talking to us about their construction than they were about censoring us or not letting us in with them.
Right. And then the, like, I don't even think they looked twice at lightsabers on Sunday.
No. Oh, God, they did not. They didn't even think. I thought, because my lightsaber is really heavy. The girls can attest. It's really heavy.
It's fun.
And I thought, I mean, Carol makes her props so light because a lot of times, you know, it's judged on weight. If it's too heavy, they're going to be like, well, this is a danger to people. They're not going to let it in. My lightsaber could probably do some damage if you actually used it like a bat. I'm not going to do that. Everyone, don't do that. So,
be aware. We're not suggesting you should do that.
No, please don't.
Don't do the thing. But also the same thing happened. Leslie was right in front of me, and she walked right in with her lightsaber, and no one touched it. No one looked at it. No one handled it. Mm-mm. They weren't even thinking about lightsabers. They probably got so many emails angsting about lightsabers that there was probably just a general instruction saying, don't worry about it.
Yeah, more than likely. They were really, to me, they were a little bit more lax even on the prop front than they had been last year. And yet we had all this huge, scare tactic threat going on.
Where was the women's graveyard?
What?
Yeah, where was the graveyard this year? I did not see it.
Last year there was the weapons graveyard outside.
Yeah, I didn't see it this year either.
It wasn't there this year.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if maybe less people decided to bring things because they were afraid of not getting it in.
I have a feeling that happened for sure. I don't remember. I don't think
that's all of it, but that definitely factored in. I think it had to
because I don't really remember seeing any kind of outrageous props. You know, there were the occasional like Harley Quinn bat or mallet. My favorite.
Well, they were selling on the floor. They were selling Negan bats.
Okay.
Seals.
And then I'm trying to remember if I saw anything huge. Do you guys have a favorite cosplay that you saw this weekend?
That was a very good question. There was a really good Constantine.
Oh, yeah, he was great. Oh, he was great.
He had the accent and everything, and he was fully in character, and it just made me melt a little.
Mm.
We didn't see, there was a lot of social media about the Mystique. That was half Mystique and half Striker. I wish I could have seen her.
She
was
amazing.
Extraordinary stuff.
Yeah.
That was an amazing, amazing costume. I wish I had seen her in person as well.
There was a Captain Ireland that made me happy.
I can't believe I missed that. You're going to have to send me that photo. That's amazing.
Don't worry, folks. They will go up. But there was a Captain Ireland. His suit was green, white, and orange, and it had a shamrock instead of a star.
That's fantastic.
And everything, it was perfect.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Oh, I wish I had seen that. I wish I had seen that.
My friend Larry took a really great photo of an amazing Wonder Woman who had probably at least three prosthetic limbs.
Yes.
And I believe his caption was, you know, hey, look, they found the real Wonder Woman.
Yes.
It was incredible. I mean, she was missing both her legs and her arm was a prosthetic. I mean, and she looked like a badass. So that's the sort of incredible thing that you see and can be just moved by and proud of and just cheer on, you know, at cons.
Yeah.
So I wish I'd seen her. She was a total badass.
Pretty awesome. Pretty awesome. Yeah, there was a lot of good cosplay this year. A lot of varied cosplay this year. So, not as many Deadpools. There were Deadpools, but not as many. Not nearly as many Peggy Carters as there were last year.
That's true.
Did I tell you my friend Sean, actually, when we were in line for the McTavish panel, said that he and his wife were on a Harley Quinn count this weekend?
Oh, God.
What were they at?
There were thousands.
Yeah, I think they actually were taking bets as to what they would get up to. And I think they said their limit per day was like, they were hoping that, they said, okay, well, they thought the max per day would be like 150. And I think they said on Saturday they completely overtook that.
Of course they did.
So they were probably averaging 70 to 100 Harleys plus a day. So.
I'm sure. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure they were.
But also the thing about Harley, too, is she has so many incarnations.
Yeah.
That, like, it's not just, like, the Harley from the Suicide Squad, which there were tons of. But there's also, like, traditional Harley and, like, the one from Arkham Asylum and, you know, the fan variant ones. Like, there is a lot of possibilities.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the obvious ones were out in full force. So the Stranger Things cosplay was everywhere. I saw, like, 3 Barbs, which was great.
So many Eggo waffles. There was actually definitely...
There was a guy dressed as Eggo waffles walking with a 11.
Yes. It was fantastic. But I think my favorite one came on Sunday, right at the end of the day. We're standing in Iris Alley, we're saying goodbye to a friend, and we turn around, and there is Spock and Kirk from The Voyage Home with whales.
Well, the thing that kills me about that cosplay is I saw the whales first. And I'm thinking, the heck with these 2 balloon humpback whales? And I made the joke. I was like, there be whales here.
And you had no idea.
And then I looked at it and I was like, oh, guys, there's a Spock. Look. And then we just lost it. It was the coolest thing. But I literally made the joke just to make this stupid Trek joke. And, you know.
And yet.
It was a real thing. It really was spectacular.
Yeah. That was probably one of my favorites. That was really, really great. I know a bunch of people who went to the Eastern Championships of Cosplay, which is super cool. We never wind up making it to that just because it's so late in the day and we're usually so hungry that we just need to get out of there.
Food is required.
Food was important. So we didn't actually make it to that. I haven't seen who the winner was yet. I'm sure that's out there at this point. But,
it should be.
Yeah, it should be. So, anyway. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad.
What were your favorite memories?
Oh, boy. I mean, Thursday walking around in Preacher was super fun. I think our photo shoot with Preacher was one of my favorite photo shoots I've ever done. For those of you who haven't watched Preacher, I'm sorry, and you should. But if you have, then Heather and I were, I was Tulip, Heather was Cassidy, and then a friend of ours was our Jesse. And he is not as familiar with the show, he was just kind of joining the group. But he is Jesse Custer. Like, he just jumped into it without a problem, and these photos are just going to be amazing. Ugh, just amazing.
He showed up with trick props and snakeskin boots. I mean, he threw himself into it head first, headlong.
Yeah,
it was, and even if it wasn't, he cosplays as someone way more recognizable more often.
Yeah.
But he, you know, not as recognizable this time, but he actually had the Constantine that Eileen mentioned earlier, actually at the end of the day, yelled out, "Hey, Preacher!" And so even though this is a character with whom he was not as familiar, he got recognized. That was super cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really cool. So that was really great. Getting to meet Graham McTavish was so nice. He was just so lovely, and so Graham was supposed to be there all 4 days, and he actually had to cancel Thursday, and we were really hoping we'd get to meet him in our Preacher cosplay, but we wound up showing him a picture of it, and he just flipped. He thought it was so cool. So that was really neat. And of course, our photo with Carrie was just so great. I think one of my favorite memories is actually using the men's room. Which
you did several times.
I did. Maybe
3 times.
3 times, yes. But come on. Like, you really, ladies, come on.
I know you got costumes and stuff that you're picking up and putting up, but can we try to be a little bit quicker?
Like, and there's no reason for the ladies' room lines to be, you know, 40 people deep. It's
40 people, easy. And it blocks everything up, too. And
it's just
got to be a way to fix it, and I don't know what that answer is.
I don't know what that answer is either. I don't know if it's gender-neutral bathrooms or what it is. Because, yes, we were standing, we were in the autographing area on Saturday, and we were waiting to meet someone, and I just had to go so badly, but there was a huge line in the ladies' room, and we were going to go to Artist Alley, but we were still standing there waiting for our people to show up, and it's Heather finally just goes, use the men's room. And I was dressed as Captain Carter, so, like, come on, if anybody's gonna be like, screw the patriarchy. So,
right. Yep.
I took off, you know, my gun belt and a couple of things that I needed to take off and leave with them, and I marched on in there. And I'm marching into the men's room, and a guy's coming in behind me, and I turned and I looked at him, and I was like, is this weird that I'm here? And he goes, well, you know, kind of, but you do you. And he goes around me, and he goes to the urinals, and I'm, like, waiting for a stall, and I'm just like, okay, I'll keep my eyes on the floor. I'm not looking at anything. I'm just here. I just have to pee. And an older guy comes out of this one of the stalls, or no, he comes over from one of the other urinals and sees me and looks at me and goes, ladies' room a little long? And I was like, it's insanity. And he was like, walks out. And one other guy said one more thing to me, and I was like, I'm not looking at anything, I just have to pee. And the stall right in front of me opens, and it's a woman, and she, like, salutes me and walks past me. And I was like, see, I'm not the only
like
one.
You do.
It was just crazy. Come on. They need to, I don't know if the solution really is to make the, you know, gender-neutral bathrooms or what. I have no idea. But that's why we always say go to Artist Alley if you have to pay, because you're not going
to
wait in line.
I just think we all need to be a little bit more considerate as ladies and get in, get out.
I agree with you. I completely
I understand we have more to deal with than the men folk, as in, you know, stripping to pee, but
yeah,
just got to keep it moving.
That could really go faster.
I do wonder, though, because I have attended a con, and this was my first experience where that had gender-neutral bathrooms. And you know what? There was no waiting. There was no weirdness. It was like there were just a metric ton of stalls, and everyone just goes in, washes their hands when they come out, done. You know? And it was like, you know what? Yeah, I could very easily just do this. It's like you think that gender-neutral bathrooms, just because it would maybe mitigate the lines a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe they still have sex-divided bathrooms, and maybe more people will go to those if they're not comfortable with gender-neutral. Mm-hmm. I think gender-neutral was great because it was like in, out, done, no problem. So right. I don't know, maybe having even a couple of those would help, disperse the lines a little bit. Because I know I wouldn't care about using a gender-neutral bathroom. If that even dropped the ladies' line a little bit, that would be helpful.
Right. Well, they have gender-neutral bathrooms in tons of bars in Manhattan. That's,
yeah.
Not so much the issue. You go in your stall, you pee, you get out, you wash your hands, you leave.
Right. Yep. It just shouldn't be a thing. So the only other concern that I remember us running into is Hammerstein Ballroom apparently has a no umbrellas policy, and it was raining for a day and a half.
Yep.
You're
luckily
kidding.
It was not raining when I went down there. Apparently they also have like a no food and like beverage policy, but the guy that checked my bag totally let me in with stuff.
Into Hammerstein. He probably wouldn't have into MSG.
No, MSG, they wouldn't. They're mean. They make you dump stuff out and they take away your food. But he like literally like saw a water bottle or something. He's like, nah, I'll let you keep it. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. I was like, thank you.
And again, that's a person by person basis, which is what they told us. Those of us were freaking out about our weapons. You know, the horrible answers we were getting back. You're like, yeah, it's probably okay, but it's really up to the security guards. And it's like, are you kidding me? That means, you know, you're either going to get a hard ass, or you're going to get, you know, someone who is kind or doesn't care or isn't going to sit there and be a stickler.
Yeah,
but, like, that's the other thing. Like, when I walked up, there was no line when I walked up at the time that I showed up at. So, like, I just walked straight up. I put my bag down. It was open. And I was like, good morning. How are you doing today? And just, like...
Yeah, being nice to them really goes a long way.
Friendly and nice and, like, whatever. And so he was just like, oh, I'm doing all right. How are you? He's like, okay. I'm going to let you keep this. Go ahead in.
The other thing I think we had a really good experience with was every line that I remember waiting in, it was not being run by a jerk. Everyone who was running the lines, like the photo op, the woman who was running our photo op line for Carrie Fisher, while she was very authoritative, was not a jerk.
Right.
She just was putting people where they were supposed to go, giving everyone the information that they needed. And she, like, even when you were going in to get your photo op, she was like, okay, everybody, time to go in. Have fun. Smile. Make sure you smile. Like, it was that was really good. When we were waiting to get into a panel room, they were always super pleasant. And they were like, you know, we're clearing out the room now. You guys can go in. Just, you know, try to get in line, blah, blah, blah.
Well, the greatest thing I saw online was when we were waiting for the Women of Marvel panel, there was a lot of confusion at the beginning because the Timeless panel was before it, and so they hadn't filled up the whole queue line, but there were people standing on the outside and, like, way, way far back, like, space, because, you know, you do, like, the line breaks so people can get through the aisles. There was, like, 3 line breaks in this thing going all the way down towards the bathrooms, and, because the panel room is on the corner, and then all the way back towards the bathrooms is where, like, the line was ending. And so it was really confusing at first, but then they're like, all right, well, Timeless is capped. Anyone here for Women of Marvel, we're going to put you in the line. And there were these people who walked up and went under the stanchions and were going to walk onto the line. This woman, this volunteer, bless her soul, turned around and started screaming, oh, no, you didn't. I saw you didn't. Get the hell out. You can't do that. You have to go to the end of the line. You cannot just jump that. I saw you. And charging at them.
Good. Good,
like,
for her.
Not mean, but very authoritative. And it was this little, like, blonde chick and her friends, and the look of fear on their face was priceless.
I would have enjoyed that. I would have enjoyed
that. And then they were walking through the line the whole time. They'd be like, all right, this is how we're doing it. Like, they explained everything. They're like, you're sitting 2 by 2, but you're walking in single file. The room is kind of full, so the person at the front is going to tell you where you're sitting. No saving seats. The person at the front didn't really tell you where to sit. It was just more along the lines of, like, as it started getting toward full up, she'd be like, okay, if you have a seat next to you, raise your hand. Okay, if you're coming in, find a hand that looks friendly. Go become friends for a panel.
Yep. I will, cycling back briefly to the bathroom, I have discovered the true source of Kylo Ren's rage. it's because it is entirely impossible to go to the bathroom in those robes. So really, if he just had robes that were less difficult, you know, Han probably would have survived.
So. Or, you know, if the Empire started making bridges with railings.
Too soon, you guys.
Hashtag too soon. Hashtag spoilers for the one person that hasn't seen TFA.
The one person in Albuquerque. Oh, my goodness. Oh, Lord.
No, I think my favorite, getting back to, like, our favorite parts, though, I think one of my favorite parts was the fact that while I was sitting at a panel, John DiMaggio tweeted that he was going to be there all weekend. And for those of you who don't know, like, put me in front of an actor on TV and film, I'm totally chill, totally fine. Put me in front of a voiceover actor, and I fangirl like nobody's business. So I was really excited that he was there, and then I went down to go see him, and one of the deals was, like, when you were getting the autograph, you could, like, pay to get a selfie with him. And the man took my phone and just started taking photos and getting his face closer and closer to the camera.
That's a good it's a good sequence of photos. Yeah, it was pretty great.
Fantastical. I died inside. And then I think the other thing that was, like, super awesome was Kate and I finally got to see our comic.
Yes! Oh, my goodness! Guys, we're superheroes in a comic!
One of my life goals has now been achieved.
This is the coolest thing. Oh, my gosh.
It's really awesome. We have a few issues. We have a few copies of the issue, but our friends Jimmy and Zam created a comic book and made us superheroes.
And they gave them to us at Con, which was so fun. And we haven't had a chance to actually sit down and actually read the whole issue.
You haven't had a chance.
Oh, okay. I haven't had a chance.
Best believe I poured over that whole thing.
Well, yeah, you had a train ride. I was in a car talking to people on the way home today. But
I had an entire train ride to scan for Easter eggs. There are a bunch.
It's just such a cool thing. And we even couldn't even express to Jimmy and Sam how absolutely special it is, this, like, gift that they've given us, because there aren't words. It's just, it's the coolest thing. So, yeah, that was really, and it was just so nice to finally get to meet Sam and to see Jimmy again. And it's one of our favorite moments of every con is to get to run into, or every New York Comic Con, rather, is to get to run into Jimmy.
Yes. It's so nice. This con, too, like, one of the greatest things was we got to meet with so many people that we've talked to for quite some time on the interwebs, right, but never actually met.
I finally got to meet
the nerd food.
Yes. They were like, you're real. We weren't sure you were for the longest time. Oh, man.
Really, I'm just really good at editing, and I record myself two separate times.
Yeah, and you just edit my voice to be something different.
And then I just edit it.
Goodness.
See? Voiceover obsessed. Now you know the tricks.
Yes, but yeah, we got to. I finally got to meet the Nerd Food Boys. We got to meet the Wee Geek Girls.
Wee Geek Girls.
And Cyberog, of course.
And Chick Solo.
You ran into Chick Solo, and you ran into Fantastic Geek.
I didn't actually get to see Fantastic Geek this weekend, which was sad.
We tried.
But I was conversing with them a little bit.
We tried. But yeah, it was just so nice to get to finally put faces and voices to these people that we tweet with all the time. Which, I mean, we knew Sully and Steve of the Nerd Foo. We knew their voices because we listened to the podcast. But
right,
it was
and
just,
I'd met them
Yeah, you met them last
Les.
Year. And I actually, Sully did ask me, he's like, so what happened last year? And I was like, I was working. I couldn't come up on Thursday night, and you went out on Thursday night. What was I supposed to do?
Supposed to leave work earlier.
Oh, apparently, yes. Well, I no longer work there, so we're fine. I've got a new job. It's all good. But... I think another one of my favorite memories is on Sunday when we, so a friend of mine, bought herself a really beautiful, Peggy Carter wig that is made by the company Official Hero Hair. And I'm pretty friendly with, the two owners of the company because we follow each other on Twitter or, we follow each other on Instagram and chat that way. We're now friends on Facebook, and I went over and saw them a few times this weekend. But on Sunday, when Heather and I were together as the general and Kylo, we had our friend dressed as the Grand Moff with us as well. And we decided to go over and see my friend who had bought the wig from them was actually at their booth helping them out a little bit. And I wanted to go over and see her, give her a hug, and just see how she was doing. And we got sucked into... taking a ton of photos with them because the one owner of the company, Travis, was dressed as what's the character's name?
Matt the radar tech.
I couldn't remember the Matt part. Matt the radar technician, and then they also had one of their clients there who was dressed as old Luke. So we were just photo after photo after photo after photo, and it was just so much fun just hanging out with them and goofing around with them and getting to see them. So that was really, really fun. And getting stuck at the Marvel booth that morning was really cool, too. But I remember Friday I dressed in a new Agent Carter cosplay, and I just did not want to take that dress off. I wanted to get my I couldn't wait to get home and get my wig off and my contacts out, but I did not want to take that dress off. Didn't know. I love that.
You probably still be wearing it right now.
Oh, yeah. I want to live in it. I just want to live in it.
Are you not wearing it right now? I just assumed you were.
Well, no, I thought we had a no pants policy for the podcast. I'm sorry.
We do have a no pants policy. That was the one interesting thing about staying with a man folk this weekend.
Yeah.
Was that I kept having to ask, is it okay if I'm not wearing pants? Because I don't know about y'all, but I get back from a long day and, you know, we've been cosplaying and I've been in either tights or something. Or a garter belt, and it's just, like, I just want to, like, hang out in, like, a t-shirt and no pants. Like, that's what I'm happiest.
No
folks.
Pants.
No pants. So, the one day, Kate and I went to meet up with some folks, and the rest of the girls went back to the apartment, and we just get a text saying that, you know, you need to wear pants when you come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me giving you all the heads up that our man folk was, in fact, there. So, I was like, put on your pants, y'all. And they did, thankfully. They had their pants on.
We had pants on.
We did. We pantsed it.
So like we're gonna walk back from a meetup with people pantsless. But yes, I see where you're coming from. Yeah, that was very
I mean, it is it
no,
is
you
me
do you.
Though.
Yeah, you
it
do,
is
you
me.
Do you.
I am the type of person who would walk in the door and just be like, no pants.
Oh boy, this is what you get when you stay with a bunch of goofy girls, you guys. One of my other favorite moments of the weekend was we usually always celebrate my birthday this weekend somehow. We go out for dinner, we go out for a drink, or I just consider it like my birthday weekend. We're going to con, all my favorite people are here. It's great. Sunday night after the convention, we were ordering food, and a couple of our friends, Heather being one of them, surprised me with birthday cheesecake and trick candles, you buttheads, which you didn't plan.
So the Grand Moff, the aforementioned Grand Moff, and the aforementioned, who was also the aforementioned Jesse Custer, and I plotted.
For 2 weeks!
You don't plot.
BS. Okay, we don't plot. We don't plot. It's not a thing we do. We don't plot. So it was one of those things where, you know, we smuggled in. I was busy packing because that was awful. I had to pack and leave a little early. And so it was really easy to smuggle, you know, to grab the box with all the goodies, take it into the room totally inconspicuously and be like, hey, shut the door and light the candles. And I actually did think at first that our Jesse had gotten trick candles on purpose. And I was like, you butthead. I didn't say that because he was out of the room at the time, but I was like, son of a gun, you did the thing. But I was like, well, boy, that'll just be hilarious. We'll just have to get some photos. but the other great memory from that is all of our other friends rushing to jump on couches while Kate was trying to blow out the trick candles and making sure that we opened windows and frantically fanning.
The fire alarm. Les was frantically fanning in front of the fire, the smoke detector.
That's it.
Windows are trying to be opened.
I never even blew them out. Like, we just had to put them out in a glass of water. It was so funny and so typical of our group.
Our friend and I are, like, sitting there, like, we're pulling out candles, trying not to get burning hot wax on our fingers and burn ourselves. And it was the beautiful chaos that really sort of sums up Con nicely. It's, like, love and chaos and laughter that hurts your ribs and no pants.
And no pants.
Cheesecake.
And cheesecake. Everything. We Golden Girls did, rather.
We did.
Oh, it was a pretty, pretty great convention, even with the hiccups, which I do think they have some things to work on this year. And usually I don't say that. Usually I'm just like, oh, yeah, you did a great job improving. Keep doing it. No, like, I really hope you put out your survey again this year, New York Comic Con, and that you listen. And because it wasn't a bad convention. I still had a great time. I think sometimes that's really about the people that you're with, though. Because if I had been at this convention solo or with, like, maybe only one other person who I wasn't, like, that was just my con buddy but wasn't, like, really good friend of mine, I probably would have had a crap weekend. I know I saw a bunch of people who have been going religiously for years and years and years decided that this was it. They were not coming back. So, which is fine. It's going to open up the doors for a crop of new people. But so long as they continue to get celebrities of the caliber of, like, Stanley, Carrie Fisher, a couple like that, people like Graham McTavish would be really interesting. I would love it if they would bring the entire cast of Preacher, as a matter of fact, which, you know, if it exploded after season one and season two is on its way. They start filming, I think, in January in New Orleans, right?
Yep.
So, you know, we're going to get a season two and then all of a sudden it's going to pick up. I always have this habit of doing a cosplay the year that something comes out and then no one knows what it is or no one cares. And then after season two, it's like gangbusters. It's everywhere.
Yep.
So, you know, we're ahead of the game. But
we are ahead of the game.
I would really love to see that for next year. And they have announced the dates for next year. It is October 5th through the 8th next year. I'm sure the...
put it on the calendars now.
Yeah, I'm sure the... Yeah, put it on your calendar now. I'm sure the ticketing will be... I'm hoping that the ticketing will be similar, but it will be earlier. Because usually we've had it... It was usually in June, and then it was moved
very late
to the end of May, and now it was, like, July.
It was very late.
It was really, really bizarre that it was July, and then they still hadn't sold out all of their Thursday passes, and they didn't sell out of Thursday passes until, like, Tuesday. Which was really bizarre. So I don't know. I didn't hear, you know, our friend who's the Hall H, I didn't hear anything extremely negative about going to Madison Square Garden except for the early wake-up call and them capping the lines.
Right, and I think his only negative thing was, I think there was something, I forgot what it was, there was something he wanted to see at Hammerstein on Sunday, but because it was raining and he knew about their, you know...
The no umbrella.
Umbrella policy, and he was like, well, forget that. So he wound up just, you know, finishing up what he needed to do and going to watch football. So for him, It's what he did. He found a bar and he watched some football. So I think that's something that I don't know necessarily whether you can say that's a detriment, but I think it would keep people on a day that was as horrible, that could have been even worse in terms of weather. And right. You have to develop policy. What are you going to, I mean, you're not going to fill up your halls that way. You know, you're going to have people that are just going to bow out instead of, you know, filling up those rooms. So I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't. If this is the way they want to continue to run it, then fine. I don't know that there's ever going to be anything that I'm going to desperately need to see in Madison Square Garden or Hammerstein and have to wait in line that early.
Just, no, because you missed the end, because he was in there. I mean, we were making the jokes earlier. We didn't see him hardly all con because he pulled a Hall H. And, you know, I think if that's what you want to do, if you want to see Keanu Reeves, if you want to see Andy Serkis and, you know, Matt Damon, all those guys, fantastic. That's great. But it means you're really missing every other part of the con, the meat of the con, really, which is, you know, the floor, the cosplay,
the community,
the vendors, the good panels, a lot of the autographs. I mean, all that's at the Javits, you know, Javits Center. And you know, it's forcing you to do one or the other. And for him, the choice was MSG, and that's
right.
Fine.
But you know, and you're right. You're missing.
We made the choice not to.
Yeah. But it's because I also have a connection to, like, the community of the con. So, like, you know, exactly. Getting to people.
You break up the community a lot when you start spreading things apart.
Mm-hmm. You break up right. Friend groups, too. So, like, you wanted to go to Shadowhunters and Hammerstein. And how long were you there? And you were away from us.
Actually, it lucked out that I wasn't there that long. I thought I was going to have to be there all freaking morning because Teen Wolf was beforehand. And they said that the Teen Wolf panel was capped and, like, full up, but they let me in before that panel was up, and they were not full. So that was a lie. Because a friend of mine had gone to see that, and she was like, oh, I'll save you a seat if you make it for that. If not, you know, I'll save you a seat for Shadowhunters. So she had been in there for Teen Wolf and then moved up, and for Shadowhunters we were sitting, I think, like, fourth row at the end of, like, the left side center. Because I had an aisle seat, and, you know, there was still plenty of room. There's, like, four balconies in that place. It was not filling up.
Yeah.
But that's... I went down there, and I think I went down there around probably, like, 11:15. And by the time I got down there and went in, the panel started at 12, went for at least an hour. Maybe an hour and a half, and then I had to walk all the way back.
I would say, speaking of lines, I think one good con hack was if you followed the NYCC Lines Twitter account, I found that getting notifications from them was very helpful in terms of what lines were capped, when they were capped, so hopefully that meant that you didn't waste your time knowing in advance that a line was capped, and you could change whatever plans you had to change.
Yeah.
True. Although, like I said, I thought it was weird they said the Teen Wolf panel was full and it wasn't.
I think their
information wasn't entirely good.
Or were they doing the badge tapping thing for that as well and assuming that that's what that meant?
No, I don't think... Well, I don't know. I don't know if your badge got tapped while you were waiting.
Okay.
I'm not sure about. Because, like, when I walked up, there was absolutely no line, so they just let me go in. But they tapped me in and out of Hammerstein.
Okay.
But I don't know if they had tapped you beforehand.
I don't know. I don't know how that went, because we never went by there. But if any of you guys that are listening did have experiences, we definitely want to hear about all of them, from Madison Square Garden to Hammerstein, to whether or not you had to be waiting in line for 2 hours to get in at the Javits, all that stuff. But I think we pretty much chatted about everything. So if you guys have any, you know, favorite cosplays, please send us photos. Tweet us some of your experiences. We love to hear everybody else's con stories. If we met you, please tweet us and remind us who you were, because we met a lot of people and we're really bad with names.
True. Hashtag true story.
Hashtag true story. If we took photos of you, and by we I mean M, then they will be up on our Facebook page, which is It's All Geek to Me Radio. So definitely go and follow that. We also have a website, itsallgeektomeradio.com, where we have posted this blog that you're listening to, a podcast that you're listening to, rather. Follow us on Twitter, allgeek2me radio, and we also have an Instagram where some of your cosplay photos may be featured. That is allgeek2me radio, all words. So until next week, I'm Kate.
And I'm Em.
And Heather, thanks so much for joining us. We hope to have you back in the future. All right, we'll talk to you guys later.